All right, and we're back.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. A little sound malfunction. But so, yeah, I mean, like, I wouldn't – I guess, like, the whole thing is just, like, trying to get the organization to pay you to entertain them. Right.
Right.
Is that what it is?
I've done some sober home shows through other people that paid. So I know theoretically they will pay, but if we're cold calling these places, it's kind of like, hey, do you want to pay us to do something?
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like doing it as a charitable thing.
Yeah.
And we do shows for free all over in LA, so it could work.
Yeah,
but
I wouldn't mind doing it local. Like, I don't have to travel anywhere and not get paid. I'll do that for charity.
Hell yeah.
Totally.
No problem.
I mean, it seemed like just a good idea anyway, because it's already like a built-in audience, and everybody, laughter is the best medicine too.
Totally.
You know
what
I mean?
You're doing something good for them. You're getting stage time out of it.
Yeah.
But it's the process of calling all those places that makes you just want to get drunk right there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, absolutely. I I worked with a shady person once who was trying to do one of those like rehab shows, but we weren't going to them.
Yeah.
He like threw a show at a club and like recruited them to come to the comedy club.
Right.
It was almost treating it like a bringer. Yeah. And it was great because like a bunch of people came out, but the club was pissed because they're like, no one drinks.
Right.
Like, you gave them all free tickets and we're not making money on drinks.
Yeah. So sobriety crowd is a club's worst nightmare.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I can imagine.
Which they charge like $5 for anyway.
Right.
Minimum. Anyway, yeah, guys, let's do this podcast. Cool. This episode is brought to you by BullyMake.com. You guys, go get yourself a box that gets delivered to your door every month. Or if you don't want every month, you can just try it once, just a one-time box. And it's for your dog. You guys get boxes delivered to your house for yourself, all kinds of cool goodies and treats and clothes and healthy food. What about your dog? He's got to eat healthy too. So the box will deliver you 3 to 4 bags of healthy treats plus 2 to 3 toys that is guaranteed that your dog's not going to tear them up in the first couple of days. That's why it's called Bully Make. It's for people that have those dogs that always figure out how to rip those toys apart like I do. I use it. I've had like the same toys for like 2 months already, and the dog's still just like chomping on them, and they're good. They're still good to go. And that like never happens with me because I have a pit bull. So anyway, guys, go to BullyMake.com, and you're going to get $10 off if you use the promo code HOME, H-O-M-E, HOME. And also, don't forget to go to DMCWatch.com. If you guys think about getting a new watch, or maybe you want to get something for Father's Day is coming up, what are you going to do dad like that for and get him like a stupid fossil?
Yeah.
And you're walking around with like all the other dads. Oh, I got a fossil too. Fuck that shit, bro. DMC Watch. It's DeLorean Motor Company. This guy's made the fucking DeLorean for Back to the Future.
Wow.
That's the coolest Father's Day gift ever. I'm wearing one right now. I fucking love this thing.
I'm wearing a DeLorean on my t-shirt right now, but t-shirt. Not the watch.
We're big 80s nerds. I don't know if you guys figured that out yet. But but anyway, it's a really classy looking watch. I get compliments all the time. If you guys are going to go check it out, there's several different styles. They just released like 3 new styles this month. Just go check it out. And just when you go check it out, make sure you use the link in the description. That way you support the podcast when you go check it out. And that's pretty much it. We're here with my co-host, Kevin Lyons.
Hey, everybody.
And our guest today is Sammy Obeid.
Obeid.
Right? Obeid. I've said it Obeid. I've said Obeid. I've tried every single one.
Every variation. They all leads to the same path.
It's all kind of spelled the same.
Yeah.
But Sammy Obeid is here with us today.
Yo.
And this is the Homeschooled Podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Let's do this.
What song is this? Group Love? No, I never heard it.
I have, yeah.
It's cool, I like it.
Now we're off to a good start.
We usually talk during the songs, but I've never heard that song before, and I was digging it, and so I was just like quiet, just listening. I'm like, I think I want to download this song.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't know if we were allowed to talk during it.
Oh, you can do whatever you want.
It's actually better because they won't be able to really get you that much for copyright.
Right.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that was weird. That stupid fucking microphone. But I'll edit it together. It's all right.
Good.
Sammy, how was your day today?
It was good, man. I had a clip go viral today, and I've just been handling trolls, slaying trolls.
Oh, really? That, isn't that the best?
Slaying trolls, yeah.
That's the best. I love reading the trolls.
What's the video?
Calming people down. It's a video that I posted the other day about Israel-Palestine, some stand-up.
Okay.
That I filmed it in January, but it was very relevant this week. So I submit it to Now This Politics, and they posted it.
Wow.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah. It's been weird, though, because, I mean, I posted stuff about Israel-Palestine before, man. It's a tricky subject, and you'll get a lot of hate from a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I posted on my own channel a few days ago, and I was getting a lot of hate from the Jewish side, and then they posted on Now This, and I was getting a lot of hate from the Palestinian side. And it's just like, it was just very subtle ways of it was differently presented. And it's just so interesting how a very little subtlety like that can piss off either side, you know?
Yeah.
But I've been just, you know, slaying trolls the last 2 days.
Does the bit kind of favor one side?
I like to think it's down the middle. And okay. I think that people have a problem with that because people like to be on very much, you know.
Yeah. They don't like neutral.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're slaying these trolls, when you're reading their comments,
yeah,
are you taking it personally or are you just laughing at them?
Some of them I laugh at. I guess today was a little more personal because it's because I'm Palestinian, so uh-huh. It's coming from people of akin, you know. Mm. They're, you know, basically saying that I'm not, like, you know, I'm being too insensitive to Palestinians or whatever. So I'm more just kind of on the defensive today.
Okay.
You know, whereas when it's like the other day would be like, you know, death to all Palestinian terrorists, you know, like Israel forever. Like, you're a fucking troll, you know, like,
dude, they're saying that shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they say the worst shit on the internet, bro. Yeah.
I know that. But Jesus. That's what you've been dealing with all day.
Yeah. But I'm used to it because I've posted some sketches on the topic before. And it's like, I have a sketch from 4 years ago that went up, and every day I get a new comment on YouTube from somebody on one of the sides, just, you know,
mm-hmm.
just saying death to the other side. Yeah. It's crazy. It's insane.
Do you, like, try to ignore them sometimes, or do you more like just go after them?
So it depends on what's going on in my life. You know, if I have
it depends on what kind of day you're having.
Yeah. I've always wanted to, like, create a show about a guy who just, you know, a guy or a girl who goes out and just kills people who talk shit on the internet, like an actual troll slayer.
Yes.
That'd be funny. Somebody who has the time to really make people pay for the evil shit that they say.
They kind of did a little bit of that at the end of Jane Silent Bob Strike Back. Do you remember that movie?
I didn't see it.
You didn't see it? Man, it was so great because, like, it was when what year did they make that? In the 90s or early 2000s? And they were making a Jane Silent Bob movie because there was a comic book.
Yeah.
This is all inside the movie.
Yeah.
So Jane Silent Bob were getting pissed off because all these trolls on the internet were talking shit about them because they're making the movie. And so they went to Hollywood to stop the movie from being made. And then when that didn't happen, they printed out all the addresses of every single troll. And they went house to house. They're like,
jeez,
are you baby mama 6425? It's like, yeah. And then they just punched the shit out of them. You know, it was really funny.
Dude,
that's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can one of you guys hand me a water?
Yeah.
From in there. Thanks. Yeah.
I got it.
Might have to two-man at that shit. You open the door, you grab it. Yeah. Thank you, man. Sorry, I forgot to grab it before we started. So fuck, dude. Yeah. We were kind of talking about that yesterday. Just like it's kind of a good thing when you start getting hated on.
Yeah.
Because, like, the more public you are and, like, the more you're known, like, then obviously the more haters you're going to have.
Well, it's also important to have the haters because the haters do bring the comments. And even though they're fucking hateful comments, it brings activity to your page.
Yeah.
So it's good. If you have people hating you on your comment section, that's good.
There's no such thing
you
as bad
want
publicity,
that because it brings more. It kind of tricks the algorithm too. Like, oh, there's a lot of action going on in here, and so they'll push your video more. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like it's good when you get haters. So
totally.
That's why I used to get pissed off when I would see shit. You know,
so
like on our channel, and it was just, oh man,
absolutely.
But it's just like I love the hate. Not really, but it's just like when like the internet troll hate because it just keeps action on your page. It's great.
It makes them look very weak.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
It makes the haters or?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, oh, for sure.
When they man, sometimes I want to just like, sometimes I won't even say anything because like you'll get sucked in too, then you'll look really weak.
Right.
And I just try not to like, because it's so easy to get them. You know, because they're thinking so close-minded, and it's so easy just to like, oh man, I can take this guy down. But like,
that's why I never take it personally. I just deliver like more bait to them to fucking get mad at. You know, you give them the bait. That's the rule. It's like something my grandfather always taught me. He's like, don't go for the bait. Never go for the bait. Fuck with them. You know.
Yeah.
Was that a fishing lesson or was
that? No, that was a life lesson. That was an actual life lesson. He'd always test everybody and see if they'd go for the bait. He tried to get it underneath everybody's skin, but you could never get underneath his because he knew not to take the bait. You know what I mean?
So yeah, that's what you've been doing all day. What do you have tonight? You doing any shows or anything?
No, I was gonna do a show, but a change of plans. I'm flying out in the morning to Oregon.
To Oregon?
Yeah.
What club are you doing?
I'm not doing a club. I'm doing a college.
Oh, you're still in college?
Yeah. So I'm flying to Medford, a small town in southern Oregon tomorrow.
Have you ever been to Oregon?
Oh, yeah, many times.
Really?
Yeah. I've been to Portland a bunch this year already, actually.
I've always wanted to go. I always wanted to go to, like, just the northern part of the continent, just to, like what's the nation
Pacific
like
Northwest?
There? Yeah, just I just want to go up there. I actually just want to go hiking up there, too.
But, oh, it's beautiful. I mean, it rains a lot there. You know, it's a lot of trees.
Do you get a lot of time to go out and see the, you know, see the area?
I take whatever little time I can. Yeah. I mean, they have great weed in Oregon and Washington.
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, so we have weed here, too, if you want to smoke
weed. Oh, okay. Oh, I'm good right now, but thank you. But yeah, it's great. It's
you really flying Southwest?
No, United. Southwest doesn't fly to Medford.
Oh, yeah, you got to go to Portland.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Exactly. Dude, fucking Southwest has like been like real scary lately with their planes. Yeah. And then but they're so fucking cheap. And I can fly out of Burbank and I fucking love it. I was literally looking at flights to Portland today.
Yeah.
And I was just like on Expedia and I'm like, fuck, they're so expensive. I went on Southwest and I was like, oh fuck, it's so much cheaper and I can fly out of Burbank. And I'm just like, fuck. Like everyone's like fucking like dying and shit on Southwest,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
I almost fucking died. I told you this story. I almost fucking died on Southwest going to Phoenix like 2 weeks ago.
Really?
What happened? Fucking plane was just going like crazy, dude. It was like fucking on the land too, and like there was moments of just straight free falling.
Really?
And people were going like nuts, dude. It was fucking. It was insane. I was sitting there next to Joey Diaz on the plane, bro. It was fucking crazy. We were sitting there, and he's like. Everyone's screaming, like panicking. The lady next to me is like grabbing my arm, like, you know what I mean? It was just, and I look over at Joey, and Joey goes, "Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die." And then he starts laughing, and then he put his headphones on and just like blacked out. And I'm just like, dude, how the fuck do you train yourself to just black out in situations you don't want to be awake for?
That's a veteran comic right there.
Yeah.
Been through a lot of turbulence.
You know what, dude? I was talking to this. I was talking about this with someone the other day because I told someone that story and they were just like, "Oh man, like did your life flash before your eyes?" That whole shit. And I went like, "To be honest with you, no." And like once I thought I was like I might die, I thought to myself, "Okay, I might die. I try to be like calm about the whole thing and be like, okay, if this is it, then this is, you know, this is it." And you know what the saddest thing is that I actually went like, "Well." Cool. Like at least I don't have to email bookers and stuff anymore. You know what I mean? Like I was actually like, man, it's finally over. You know, like it's done.
Absolutely. I have this thing called the turbulence test. It's the test to know if you're depressed or not. So when the plane starts shaking and like everybody's panicking and if your first thoughts are like, oh, my family, my pet, like what are they gonna do without me? Like you're perfectly happy, everything's fine. Yeah. If like baggage is falling out of the compartments and you're just like, I could use a break. You're fucking sad. You're depressed.
That's kind of where I was. Then I must be really depressed because I actually enjoy turbulence on the plane.
Yeah. That's
almost
kind of
like
before.
A roller coaster. Like I enjoy it. It doesn't bother me at all.
Listen, I can handle turbulence, but like when the plane's like going down, like what's going in, or like he said, like if luggage starts flying, or if like fucking the things, the little oxygen things drop, like what's in your head at that moment? And like honestly, I was just kind of like, well, whatever. Like I was just kind of like this, you know, the hustle's over finally. You know what I mean? And with my luck, I get to heaven, and it's like fucking Matt Taylor at the pearly gates. He's like, "Did you bring 10 people?" You know
what I'm saying? Go to the left line where the sober home shows.
But anyway, man, I'm glad you're in. Well, you're leaving tomorrow, but I'm glad you're in town this week because I've been wanting to have you on the podcast for a while.
Yeah,
and I saw you at the Robin Hood mic.
The Robin Hood,
the other night, and I was just like, "Oh shit, good. Let me just because you're in town, you know."
That's
a really fucking hard mic, huh?
I've had some, you know, some
I've had
good
decent
nights.
Sets there.
Yeah.
But like that night, when I ran into you there. And here's the thing, like, if you don't do it for a while, like, I sometimes I'll do it like every Wednesday.
Yeah.
And it's fine. And then, right, like, if you, I didn't do it for like a month or two, and then I went back when I saw you.
Yeah.
And it's just like really kind of.
I thought you did great. I think it's just your standards. You're when you don't do the mic for a while, you're expecting a crowd laughter. You know,
well, I do other mics, and I just you know, I know that. I mean, I've done some other mics recently, and like, I mean, you know, they're
all bad.
They're all bad. Like, you kind of have to like gauge, like, oh, they made a sound, but the joke must be good, you absolutely know, type of thing. And but that, I don't know, that particular night, I just felt like, man, I forgot how like tough this room is.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, there's like posts in the middle of the room. Like, it's like you're talking around people. It's a weird setup. You know,
they should like completely block off that one side,
yeah,
and just see everyone on the other side, so you don't have to like look around these posts,
right?
And then
it
would look more full,
totally,
like packed in, and then like the stage is all the way on one side. That's what they should do, dude. I fucking, you're working on some stuff too. I've been laughing about one of the things that you said. I actually told like two people.
What is it?
I was like, oh man, this guy's joked the other day. When you were talking about, like milk and cheeses and stuff like that, and you said like, what did you say? You said like goat. I forget how you worded it. You said like goat cheese is the best, and you're like,
I said I drink goat milk.
Goat milk. I'm sorry. You're like goat milk is the best, and then he's like, and then he goes like, I mean, like, when I say goat, I mean like greatest of all time. He's like, which is whole milk. Is the goat milk.
Thank you.
I thought that shit was so fucking.
You know, it's weird because it's like I'm trying to. I have this whole bit on milk, and that's the way in. And like when it's for a crowd of people our age, younger, it's like that's a solid way in. But I do so many shows where it's just like old people just staring at me, not knowing what the fuck I'm talking about.
Do you really?
Yeah, and I'm like, GOAT is an acronym, greatest of all. And even if it does nothing, they're just still like, it doesn't. They're like, they still don't laugh. Just, you know,
because
so
they probably think you made that acronym up,
right? Exactly. But if you're familiar with GOAT, then you know it, you know.
If you do it in Boston, they're really familiar with it.
I think it did well in Boston a few weeks ago when I was there.
I feel like that term GOAT was like created for Tom Brady. You know what I mean? Like, I've never really heard it as much until Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people use it in the wrestling world, MMA world. Yeah, it's like a big term in the MMA. And then obviously, like, when it comes to like rappers, I know people always talk about rappers with GOAT. And then I think with this recent like LeBron versus Jordan thing, people are using GOAT a lot. So it's a very topical term amongst the youth. You know, anybody under 35, I would say.
Dude, I thought that was so funny.
Well, thank you.
I was sitting next to
Joey
too, and him and I were like giggling.
That's great.
Dude, you said that you do a lot of rooms where there's older. You said you did colleges. I would think it's the opposite. So where are you performing where they're older?
Well, Comedy Magic Club is probably my home club here in LA. And some nights, especially during the weeknights, it can just be a very older crowd. And then I've been doing a lot of corporates lately. So like I did a corporate yesterday in Anaheim, and it was pretty much over 40, over 50, around everybody.
What about casinos?
I haven't done any casinos in a while, but I used to do them. Mm-hmm. Pretty frequently, and yes, those are oldies as well.
Those are oldies but goodies. I've been doing a couple of casinos lately, and man, they're usually pretty older.
Yeah,
I did one. Where was I? I was in Vegas last month, and there was like that was like the youngest casino crowd I'd ever seen.
Which one?
Where the fuck? I was at Rampart Casino. It's not on the Strip. It's actually like a country club. There's like a golf course there.
Interesting.
And the youngest like casino crowd I ever did, and they were probably 50.
50s, yeah.
Like 50. So they were like 50 through 80, as opposed to like every other casino gig I've ever did are usually like fucking like 70 through 90. Yeah. I've done casino shows where the front row is just all like those are like electric wheelchairs.
right.
They rolled in. That's like they reserve those spots for that.
Do you have jokes specifically for older people?
No, not at all. I mean, I think that my material for the most part is pretty universal. I mean, I think more than anything, I can relate with older people than younger, because I mean, I talk a lot about like marriage and like husband and wife little tiffs and things like that. And I think that like, you know, older people really can relate to that.
Oh, absolutely.
And then like lately I'm doing a lot of bits about my nephew and, you know, because like his dad's not necessarily like, you know, around, and sometimes like I kind of take over like that part of it, and so I've been doing bits about like that, and now I've been getting a lot of guys that are like from 30 up who are like dads, kind of like really going like, dude, that shit like remind me of my son so much, you know what I mean? So that's kind of where I'm relating right now.
That's
do
great.
You have to pee?
No, no, not at all.
Oh,
sorry.
Is that just something you do?
I don't do this all the time. It's just like sometimes it's just, it keeps me.
It's a sensory thing. Yeah, like yeah. Me, like I'm just tapping my foot.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Sorry if it bothers you. I can
it
stop.
Doesn't bother me. I just was worried that you had to pee.
Don't move
like, didn't
at all. Don't move. Stand completely still.
So a couple of things I wanted to ask you about. I recently saw this clip online. You were on like this show and you basically told off the judges.
Oh,
what show was that?
That was Last Comic Standing.
It was Last Comic.
It wasn't the judge. It was the executive producer. It was in 2015, so like about three years ago.
Okay, so you just posted it.
Yeah, I posted it because it's technically property of NBC. Like, it's not something you can post on like YouTube.
Gotcha.
So I just posted a very short clip of it.
Okay.
So what happened?
So Last Comic Standing is executive produced by Wanda Sykes.
Okay.
And everybody who makes it past the first round has to run their second round set by her. So we do it in a room just her. It's just her. There's like camera people filming.
Wow. No audience.
No audience. And you do. You
is
run,
she sitting?
She's sitting there. You run your 3 minutes by her and she gives you her feedback. And of course, it's all televised. It's like you have to like, if she gives you advice, you fucking take that shit.
Do they air that part of it on the show too?
They air some of it. Like, they don't air everybody's bit, but like they show moments of her giving people advice.
Okay.
So what happened was, I went in there, I did my 3 minutes, which was, it was 3 minutes that I had already done on TV. I did it on Conan. So like my plan was like, I'm going to do some newer stuff in the first round and then do the last 3 minutes of my Conan set in the second round. Shit. That's already tried and true. Bang, bang, bang. I'm like, I got this. I go in there, I do my 3 minutes, tried and true. And she's just like, yeah, those last two jokes weren't working for me, which were at the time were my best jokes of all time.
Huh.
Those were my goat of jokes.
That's like the ultimate internet troll right there.
It was rough. I mean, they're big room jokes. Like, it's good when there's a lot of people in the room. It was just Wanda. She didn't like it. But those were the jokes that everybody knew me for. So it was just like, to me, it was just like she told me, like, yeah, those jokes didn't land for him. Like, I was just like, Wanda, believe me, they work. Like, you know, it was just like, I'm not going to just sit here and think, like, if I did these jokes at an open mic and a person didn't laugh, I would do them again somewhere else and learn if they were good or not. That's the same thing here.
Yeah.
You know? So I just kind of just told her that up front, and she was just like, okay, man, like, whatever. And so they kind of packaged it in a way where like the guy, there was a guy who was getting advice before me. He's like, if you don't take Wanda Sykes' advice, what kind of idiot are you? Then they cut to me.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Man. Yeah. And then, but I will give it to Wanda. I mean, she like, she, I do think she had good insight, but like she was wrong. She, just because she didn't, they didn't land for her, didn't mean they weren't going to get a big applause in that room,
right,
you know?
Right.
And then she straight up told me, she was like, because I do a lot of math jokes because I have a background in math. And so it's like, I was telling her that. She's like, that's cool and all, Sammy, but like America's like 33rd in math. So like, where are the dick jokes already? You know? And then I was like, all right, you know, fair enough point. She's like, you know why I booked you is because you did that Palestinian joke in the first round. That's why I booked you. She's like, more of that. I'm like, but I talk about other stuff too, you know? So I wish she saw the video that I posted today.
Oh,
but
man.
Dude, as far as like how they edited in the guy before, he was like, whoever doesn't take Wanda Sykes' advice is an idiot.
Yeah.
Whoever who has ever said that sentence is a fucking idiot. I guarantee you they're the only person who's ever said, whoever doesn't listen to Wanda Sykes is an idiot. Bro, when was the last time she's done stand-up? Not only that, but you're telling a professional stand-up comedian who works for a living as a comic, you're telling him the jokes didn't land for me in a room that doesn't have an audience.
Yeah.
And then
a real comic would never do that.
And the camera, two camera people came up to me afterward, like, that, those were great jokes. Just yeah. like, could you have interrupted, maybe said something like, hey, excuse me, yes. Wanda, we like the jokes. We're in here too.
Just say you're an executive producer and we need more ethnic shit on this show. Right, don't right. say like, well, those jokes didn't land for me. No, they just didn't fit what you're looking
right,
for.
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean? Like, tell him that in private. Yeah. Hey, I thought that was funny, but, like, we really want some ethnic shit for the show. Right. You know what I mean?
And then I submit. So then I submit, like, three other Palestinian jokes, and they were way too edgy for the program.
Yeah.
So I, you know, ended up just doing something completely different.
Make up your damn mind, Wanda. yeah, what do you want?
How far did it go with the last comic stand?
So I made it. The next round is where I got eliminated. So I changed up my set because of what she said.
Right.
And the set went well, better than I could have even imagined. Still didn't get it. So it was
tough competition.
It's a casting thing. I mean, there were absolutely 100% people who, did better than me, had great sets and should have moved on. There were a couple people who I think they just wanted to cast. Mm-hmm. That's all, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Does that show still happen?
No, that was the last time it had happened.
It was in 2015. So they don't do them anymore.
No, but I think they might bring it back.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I feel like that show could have done so much better. I feel like that show could have been like the American Idol or like The Voice, and they didn't do that much with it.
It's just, yeah.
They never like really invested in their winners afterward.
Right.
Like they
right.
were just like, we want the audience now.
Right.
Like we just want them to watch stand-up comics compete. But like your winner, they should have like really invested in them in the future and like given them like, you know, you're guaranteed X amount of spots on a sitcom, guest spots, eventually your own sitcom.
Right.
A freaking special.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. A few of
the
winners.
NBC is a special. Just give them like a fucking right. half hour special on NBC.
Right.
Air it on one night only type deal. Like right. they're just like, okay, you won. Good for you. Bye.
Right. Hey, you look historically at the people who won and like, what did they actually get out of it?
Right. Dat Fan.
Right, Dat Fan.
And then wasn't it Ralphie that was second place to Dat Fan?
Yeah, Ralphie was second place. I mean, like, I know Amy Schumer got, like, third or something mm-hmm. like that. She was, like, I think Amy Schumer's the most successful person who was on the show.
Right.
You
basically want to lose. You know, right. you want to like, come in, like, second place. On
yeah,
last
right, exactly.
But that was fucking crazy. And then, like, the other thing I was going to ask you about is, didn't you do, like, was that you like a while ago? You did like a show a day.
Yeah, I did 1,000 days in a row.
A thousand days in a row.
Shows yeah. in a row.
That's incredible. Yeah.
And
man.
You did it all over.
I did it all over. It ended up being, it was like something like 3,000. Well, it was like 2,700 shows in a.
But your goal was 1,000.
My goal was 1,000 days in a row completed. It wasn't the goal from the beginning, but at some point I set that goal.
Damn.
Yeah.
And you were just like, oh, let's go for 1,000.
Yeah, well, it was after day 365. I was going to stop at 365, and someone told me that Hal Sparks once did 2 years in a row. So I was like, I can either just stop or I can try to beat that record.
Yeah, so you just went and did 1,000.
So I was like, yeah, I mean, what's you know, a 2 years, that's, you know, 700-something. I just got to, like, what's a nice round number on top of that? I thought 1,000.
Yeah. And so
that's insane, man. That's awesome.
So you're, like, where, around 365 when you decided to do that?
Yeah.
So around 365, you're like, I'm at, you know, I've been working every day for the last year.
Yeah.
And did you go and just say like, okay, now let me go out and book the rest of the 1,000 shows and make sure that I guaranteed to have it?
Yeah. I mean, the foreseeable future, you know, I wouldn't like book everything. I didn't book everything from there, but
kinda,
I just tried
to. You kind of can't.
No, you can't. But I kept things busy. I mean, like important days, like holidays and stuff, I would plan that shit in advance.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it just, I took it.
Would you have
time.
Like a plan B? What if like some show canceled?
Most of the time I had a plan B. There was a couple nights where I didn't have a plan B and I had to shuffle to find one at the last minute. Those were some pretty stressful nights.
Mm-hmm.
But it got close a couple times, but it didn't happen. I mean, the closest it's ever got, I had to beg a guy to just let me on his bar stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, dude. And is this like documented anywhere? Are you like officially the record holder?
So I tried to submit it to Guinness Book, mm-hmm. Guinness Book of World Records, but they said I would have to pay something like $200,000.
What?
And they'd have to send out an appraiser who would live with me, and I'd have to give the appraiser quarters to live. So like I would have to put them up in a hotel or something.
But you already did the 1,000.
Well, this was before this was on the way to it. This was like, I was in the middle of it, and I was like, you know.
So they had, so they wanted to send somebody just to live with you and and watch you, make sure that you did comedy every night.
So I could have, in retrospect, you know, maybe I could have taken some loans for some people, got the finish.
That's a lot of money, dude.
Yeah, so it's an informal record. I mean, I urge anyone to try to beat it. It's a horrible thing.
That's
it's a horrible, horrible thing.
Man, that's that's insane. That's crazy, though. Congratulations,
and it was,
man.
Thank you.
It was all over.
All over. I mean, there was a couple times where I was invited internationally and I had to turn it down because
it would have fucked it. It would have fucked it up.
So I went to Canada. That was it. That was as far as I went. But East Coast, West Coast.
Wow, dude.
Yeah.
And then you probably had several shows in one night sometimes too, right?
Yeah.
But that wouldn't count, right? You were just counting the days in a row?
As long as I did one show per day, I was good.
Okay. So it was 1,000 days, not 1,000
1,000
days.
So it ended up being like 2,700 shows. Now. Yeah, yeah. Average about 2.5 shows a night.
It's a pretty cool accomplishment. I mean, the only way it could have been documented is if you recorded every single set
So near the end,
the date on it.
Near the end, I started having someone film as a documentary, and then I was taking pictures of myself on stage every day. But what I did is, you know, I noted everywhere I was, and I had witnesses there every night. So if there was ever an issue, that was my thing. But going back, I wouldn't go.
How long ago was that?
This was I started in 2010, ended in 2013.
Damn,
that's a lot, man. Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah. So, what did you learn anything from it?
Jeez, I mean, I learned everything.
There's more shows than one. It's like,
yeah, I know, but
life.
I'm just like, I mean, it's just such a crazy feat, and it taking so long. How did it change your comedy?
Well, I definitely found more of my voice.
Yeah,
I had already been doing comedy a few years when I started, so it was it wasn't I just started fresh. Yeah. I had an idea of who I was, but I had a journey to undergo, and then by the end, I really feel like I understood my voice more. And it was crazy because on the last night, I did 1,001. I just threw an extra one in there, and
just in case.
Yeah, and I sold out my home club in San Francisco at the Punchline.
That was the 1,000th one.
1,001. And it was
dude, I love that club.
It was so great, right? And there was a line outside. I sold it out, and it was a lot of it was my friends. It was people I knew from high school, people I knew from college, people who were some of my original fans who I knew after college, and it was. You know, I take pride in that I have a very diverse group of friends in every way, you know, from education to age to ethnic background to just personalities. And all these people were in the room at the same time. And I realized, that's who I am. I am the synthesis, if you will, of all these different people.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was kind of that realization that I had at the end. That, you know, some people say my comedy's smart, whatever, you know, it's kind of smart, but I like to consider it very broad. And that's why sometimes when I do a joke in a room, one person doesn't get it. But on the grand spectrum of things, if you have a lot of different kinds of people in a room, everybody will have something for them.
Did you video that show?
Yeah, I did video that show, yes.
How long did you do?
I probably did an hour, nice. 15,
killing
something
it.
Like that.
Sammy Obey, I bet you killed it.
It was great. It was definitely one of the best sets of my life. Built-in standing O. I was already going to get a standing O regardless of what I was going to do. Because I kind of bombed the night before at Largo. That's where I did my 1,000th day at Largo. And I kind of bombed, but it was an intentional bomb. I was just so tired, and I just wanted to keep going and rambling and rambling.
Let me just get this over with, right. And then tomorrow in front of everybody.
But then, yeah, exactly.
I
all
kill
my
it.
Real friends.
How long did you when was the first break you took? What day off?
I had to perform on the 1,002nd day because this guy wanted to give me an award in front of the Palestinian community in San Francisco. So I went and did this show for Palestinian families. It was fucking just completely bombed. It was just from riding that high of a standing O, and then the next night being in front of families and
how it goes, dude.
Yeah, exactly. And so I ended, you know, I could have ended on that high, you know, that high note, but I ended just okay, I'm going to go home and take 10 days off now.
Did you take 10 days?
I took 10 days off.
10 days straight.
Amazing.
Well earned. Yeah. Well deserved.
Did you know what to do with yourself with those 10 days, or were you just kind of
you know, everybody was like, dude, you're gonna freak out when you get it, you're gonna be craving it. At that point, I wanted time off so bad. I didn't give a fuck. I it was a lot of time for introspection. I mean, the thing is, I was a broken man at that point.
Really?
Yeah, those last 300 days, fucked me up, like really, really bad. There was a breakup near the end. There was like this medication I took that gave me anxiety, and I started going. I had suicidal thoughts at some point.
Hate what you do.
Yeah.
After a while, like, you need to take a little like breaks. Like you, after a while, you'll hate your own fucking act.
Right.
I hate my act right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? I didn't do 1,000 days in a row. I fucking hate my act right now.
Yeah.
Like, but like,
it would go in waves, obviously. Yeah. But
if you're hating what you're doing every night, it's like, this kind of really fucking defeats the purpose.
Right.
But you're a real comic, and then I'm sure by like day 9 of your vacation, you're like, I got to go some fucking spots next
week. Yeah. By the end of it, I was like, I got some new material. I'm ready to go.
That's awesome, dude. But then that first night that you took off, were you just like, oh, it feels so good to not have to be anywhere.
I watched Netflix. I just kicked back and I watched Netflix. It was amazing.
You just caught up on like so many shows that you had missed.
Yeah.
Did you watch Breaking Bad and
shit? Oh, I watched some Breaking Bad.
Sons of Anarchy.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Congrats, though. That's awesome.
Thank you.
That's really cool.
That's so fucking crazy. How did you feel like you were going to, like, I don't know, like did you feel like you were going a little crazy?
Oh, I was insane. I felt like my head was going to explode. I was in physical pain. A lot of it was all like tied in. It's hard to tell what was what. It was like the breakup, the medication, the stress of having to finish 1,000 days. It was all in my head, and I was in constant pain. Like I would wake up, and there would be like I felt like someone was jamming an ice pick into my head every day. It's the only way I can describe it.
Man, it's a lot of spasm. I'm sure you became a better comic out of it.
I did.
I'm sure you did.
And but comedy became, it was like a medicine for me. It was like I would feel like shit during the day, then I would do stand up, and I would feel okay.
Uh-huh. You ever get a lot of bookings now, and then you just go like. You're having like flashbacks. You're like,
I do.
Bro, I don't need it. Let me take one day off. I don't want to do that many in a row.
When I look at my schedule, I'm like, I have 10 days in a row. I'm like,
yeah, I can make it. I did 1,000. I could do 10.
Yeah. I have to remind myself it's okay.
Well, fuck, dude. That's really cool. You got to go up in front of your family and friends in your hometown.
Yeah.
And that club is so cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Would you stay at the hotel around the corner? Well, no, you probably stayed.
No,
family,
yeah,
right?
I never stayed.
Have you ever stayed at that hotel around the corner?
No,
they
no,
put
no,
up
no I have not.
The hotel's so fucking awesome because there's a restaurant in the lobby that has like the best chia pino I've ever had in my life. Dude.
Really?
So fucking good. Like, I want to get booked there again just so I can go eat that. It's fucking awesome, dude. 1,001. Isn't it always like, you know that like if you have an important show coming up, you want to bomb before it.
Yeah,
isn't that
get
weird?
It out
like,
of your system.
Get it out of your system because you know there's like when you have like a bunch of good sets, you know there's a bomb coming.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, and then if I have something really important going, I'm like, oh man, let me just go get like this bomb out of the way.
right. Yeah.
So like, then you're
on
purpose, like you will literally just tell your joke shit.
I won't
purpose.
Throw a set, but I'll kind of be like, before I have that important night, the night before, I'll go do like a mic.
Yeah.
Like I won't throw it on purpose, and then. This is so weird. Like, I probably shouldn't do this. Like, before I have, like, an important set, the night before, I won't work on the material that I'm doing the next night. Mm. It's probably really stupid. But, like, prior to that, like, every day up until then, I was doing only the material that I've been working on to do on the important night.
Right.
And then the night before, I'm like, let me just go get this bomb out of the way, and I'll just do new shit. And I feel like it really makes me, like, it's like a little vacation, like a little treat for myself, and it relaxes my mind. You'd be like, I get to work on something that I want to fucking do tonight.
Yeah.
You know? And
yeah, no,
keep
totally.
Mind fresh.
Yeah, it's for you, you know?
Totally, man. Yeah. Let me do some shout-outs here. We're almost wrapping up here.
Well, but before you do
that,
so that 1,001 nights, that was like a really big feat. Do you have any other goals that you're setting? Like, is there another type of thing that you want to do?
I'm so glad you fucking reminded me.
Yeah. Is there, no, is it like, no, because it's so cool. I mean, like you set yourself this almost impossible sounding goal and you fucking nailed it and you had this break and you know, what else do you see yourself wanting to do?
I do have some goals. They're not quite like that just because after doing that specific thing, I was like, I would never want to subject myself to this kind of pain again.
Yeah.
I think the goal setting thing is cool and I like doing things where you're counting something, but nothing of this kind of nature where like I have to complete it and it's that stressful. So current goals, I'm trying to get a show on TV. I've been pitching a show for a couple versions of a show for like 3 years now. And it's about numbers and math and stuff. And then
the characters, or is it more like a reality?
Well, the inception of it was like a hosted show by me, hosted by me, just kind of a to camera or like almost kind of like daily show kind of format, even though just different style and everything like that. And then I shot a pilot last year for True TV, and they ended up pushing it into a scripted way because they didn't like the non-scripted kind of style, but I didn't really like the way it was scripted. Uh-huh. But it could go either way. It's now flexible to the point where I could pitch either version of it.
Yeah.
So that's a more immediate goal. This whole Israel-Palestine thing, I'm trying to kind of build something off of that. My kind of dream would be to do like a documentary or something where we have Arab comedians and Jewish comedians doing a kind of a tour in the region. That's kind of a broader thing, but there's that. I started doing a bit 2 years ago that kind of became a thing that a lot of my fans at least got behind, where I said that I'm running for president in 2036. So that I would say is the most comparable thing to it, because if I run for president in 2036 and I'm technically running right now, it would be the longest running presidential campaign in history.
Oh, wow.
Because nobody's ever run for president for 20 years. I started running in 2016. I announced my candidacy on Twitter in 2016.
How active are you on your campaign?
I do bits in my stand-up. I'm always writing more bits. Like I have a little segment on my website dedicated to it. I have a shirt that says Obeyed 36 that I've sold in maybe 30 states. Oh, so I have a growing... I have a growing fan base,
Did you look into, is there anything like technically that you have to do to be considered like that is campaigning to
officially
be
running? Like I'm going to look into it. I'm going to look into it soon. Like I've been trying to do lately is I've been trying to like find a local office that I can run for to get some, start getting some political experience under my belt.
Okay.
I might do something really simple like school board or something like that. Or just find like run for House of Reps in like a place that nobody gives a shit about.
you're a mathematician. I'm sure you could figure it out.
Yeah, so I'm working on that. But I think technically you're theoretically, once you announce you're running, you're running. You know, I think that's what
it's like in The Office. I declare bankruptcy. Right. Like, you can't just say it.
Right. Well, look at all these candidates who, you know, they're like, oh, The Rock says he may or may not run. Yeah. It's like they officially announce it at a strategic moment because it's good for that moment to build their momentum. I've already announced it. So I'm running.
Yeah, well, you heard it here first, guys.
Yeah 2036, it's official.
You gotta go 2036 vote for Sammy Obeyed.
November 4th 2036, it's a Tuesday.
Obama to Obeyed.
Yes, but the Obeyed Obama.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. I'll vote for you.
Thank fuck
you.
Yeah, bro,
thank you.
Hell yeah,
you got the comics vote.
Will you promise to make math easier?
Oh, for sure. That's one of my best one of my big platforms. Make math cool again.
That's your little hat.
Yeah, yeah.
So funny, dude. So that I'm glad you asked. That's why I got fucking Kevin Lyons, best co-host ever, watching my back.
I'm sitting on the sidelines just waiting for my time. I have the one sneaky play, coach.
Never did I expect him to answer with, be president?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, beat that, future guest.
You have a potential president sitting here on the podcast, man.
Your goals are actually very similar to Trump. I want to have a TV show and be president.
Right. That's, that's how you do it.
That's right.
That's how you do it.
You two might be the only ones that have ever had both those same goals. Yeah.
Working 1,000 days in a row, not taking a break.
And then you try to help Israel-Palestine, but you really fuck it up.
Very similar. Very similar. What do you got coming up, dude? You're doing the college in Oregon tomorrow.
College
Medford,
in Oregon.
Oregon.
What else is coming up? I'm doing some shows in the Bay Area next week, and then my 11-year anniversary of stand-up's coming up in the beginning of June. Probably just be doing some local shows. I don't have anything like big local here that I'm promoting in LA, but you can find me on the webs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Well, let me get through my shout-outs here really quick. Some Instagram shout-outs here. Shout-out to Unlimited Candy.
Unlimited Candy.
My boy Ryan Bell.
Hey, Ryan.
Excuse me here. Jay Finnamore 33.
What's up, Jay?
Sun 1.
Thanks, son.
My buddy Mel Diaz. How are you, dude? Thanks for the support on Instagram and support always. Mike Hawk EZ323.
The way you said that sounds like Mike Hawk.
I think that's what they intended.
Or is it Mike Hawk?
It's Mike Hawk, but I think that they intended that. And Cesar Lopez. Those are the shout outs for this week. Guys, I'm going to be at Laughs Unlimited in Sacramento this weekend. Friday at the Friday. The Friday night show, the late show. Then next week I'm at Flappers on Wednesday. The late show at Flappers on Wednesday. Next week. Actually, if you're listening to this, it might be this week. So this Wednesday, come on down to Flappers. What else? And then Saturday, this coming Saturday, I'll be at the Ice House with Uncle Joey.
Nice.
Uncle Joey works out.
Oh, yeah.
And that's it.
Wait, not this Saturday.
Not this Saturday, but I mean, by the time this podcast comes out. Yeah.
I was about to say, you have me dog sitting for that?
No, I think it's Memorial. I think it's Memorial, the Saturday before Memorial Day, I think. I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
Isn't not this Monday, but next
Monday?
Yeah,
Memorial Day?
Next
Monday.
So that's what it is.
Yeah, I have that day off.
Anyway, yeah, so that's fucking it. Congratulations on your viral video today.
Thank you.
And your 1,001.
Oh, my pleasure.
We won't count the one after that. But that's really cool. You got an award for it.
Yeah, you know.
With your people.
With my peeps.
And your actual friends and family that were. I mean, that's the best accomplishment. You got to fucking kill in front of them in your hometown, your home club. How cool is that, bro?
Yeah.
Fucking cool.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to add?
No, just thank you for bringing me out here.
Thanks for coming on, bro.
Yeah.
I'm glad I got to have you on. I'm glad you were in town. Have a safe flight.
Thank you.
Don't forget, you guys, bullymake.com. Use the promo code HOME, HOME, and you're going to get $10 off your order. Listen, you can sign up for a year, 12 months. You could do half a year, 6 months. Or if you just want to try the box once, you just get the one box and make sure you use the promo code to get 10 bucks off. So the promo code is HOME, HOME, home like homeschooled podcast. Bullymake.com. Just get a box delivered to your door. Treats, dog toys, do it up. And don't forget about... to click the link in the description, dmcwatch.com. DeLorean Motor Company makes watches. They're fucking awesome. Check them out. Make sure you use my link in the description. Also, guys, do me a favor. Recently started a YouTube page, so I'm putting all these podcasts up on YouTube, and I need to get my subscribers on there. So please do me a favor. It's the channel is just called Augustino Zoida. That's my channel. Just go on there and hit subscribe, please. That's pretty much it. Kevin,
yes,
is on Twitter and Instagram.
Yep.
At the real Kev Lyons.
That's right.
And I'm at Augustino Zoida on everything. And you guys know how to spell my name. Otherwise, you wouldn't have found this podcast. Sammy, what's your
Sammy
social?
Sammy Obeid, Obeid. Obeid.
Sammy at Sammy Obeid on Instagram, Twitter.
Twitter.
All that
everywhere.
Stuff.
Tattooed on my chest.
There you go.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on.
My
Kevin,
pleasure.
Thank
yeah.
you for having my back on
no
this
worries,
episode.
No worries, man. I love it.
We'll
thanks
see you
for
guys
hanging
next
out,
week.
Sammy.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.